We are delighted tonight to be able to ordain a faithful servant of the Lord to the ministry. I have seen Brother Jeff for years exercising a powerful influence in bringing the youth to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is a great blessing. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, when we consider these words, it's a very important thing that Paul does here. He is making very clear that the power of the ministry does not come from the personalities involved. A person who has a sparkling personality, the gift of gab, as the world phrases it, has no place in the ministry, because the ministry is a spiritual office. It is a gift, a precious privilege that the Lord gives his servants. And that is the importance of ordination. We are recognizing that Brother Jeff has received these gifts from the Lord and has been exercising them in his ministry and shall continue to do so. So we are merely recognizing what God alone can do. It is not within the powers of any church or religious body to confer such an office. It is the place of the Almighty himself to call the individual to that work and to equip him for the work and to empower that ministry. And we have seen the ministry that Brother Jeff has been engaged in, and indeed it is a God-ordained and God-blessed ministry. Now, it is significant to me that that word preach in verse 2 is the Greek word keruso, which is the word to proclaim like a herald. A kerix was a herald. He is to herald forth something. Now, the herald was an official office in the ancient world, and it demanded that the individual have a strong voice, be able to be heard by a multitude of people. And when a king had a proclamation, he would send the herald to the town square, and he would stand up in an obvious place and proclaim whatever that edict was in a voice that people could hear. Now, that is the picture that is involved in that word, and we have to transfer now from an Orthodox scene in a city to an Orthodox pulpit, where the preacher stands up and proclaims for the Lord the message of the Lord. Now, that herald has absolutely no authority to invent anything. He could not stand up and say whatever he thought about the situation in the city. He had a specific delegation. There was a document that he was to proclaim, a message from his ruler, and he stood up and proclaimed it. And the words had binding power, not because of him, but because of the king who gave the edict, and the one who stands in the obvious place of ministry and proclaims it is a mere spokesman for the king. And that is what every true preacher is. He is not an individual who can stand up and manufacture stories or manufacture truths or manufacture anything. He has a document to proclaim. It's the Scriptures. His authority begins and ends with this book. This is the message of the great King. The great King desires that people hear this message of salvation, turn from their pathway, and submit to his rule. This is the gospel message, and this is where the power of the ministry lies. It is not in the eloquence of the speaker. It is not in the brilliant knowledge of the speaker. He has a distinct task. The message is already in front of him. It's inscribed in a book. And his task is to stand up and proclaim, to shout to others the truth that is in this book, a holy and sacred task for anyone. Now, Paul was one of those preachers, and he preached all over the Mediterranean world. It wasn't his eloquence. It wasn't his imposing presence. He described himself as a rather poor-looking person. But God had chosen him to proclaim these words. And he went forth to proclaim a message that is still being proclaimed. A message that is still changing hearts, converting people, and transforming them into the children of God. Now, this is the precious privilege that Brother Jeff has of proclaiming these ancient words and telling others about the truth of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save from sin, to break the shackles and set them free that they might serve God as he desires. This is a wonderful privilege. It doesn't matter what age the individuals are. If they hear the truth and believe, that is the power of the word to save, to transform, to make them into believers that will have their own place in the proclamation and witness of God's holy word. Now, he says here, preach the word. And in verse 2, he continues, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, you must be consistent. Every preacher has to be consistent in what he's doing. You cannot be a person who is pious on one day and irreverent on another day. Your life must be consistent 7 days a week. For all preachers, they stand up and preach, usually on a Sunday. The way they live Monday and onwards is just as important as the message they proclaim on Sunday. And the preacher who forgets that and betrays the trust has no right to stand up on Sunday and say anything. Preach the word. Be consistent. In season, out of season. When it's convenient and when it's not convenient. You stand for the Lord and his word no matter what is going on around you. You are in his word and you stay in his word and do not budge no matter what happens. Now, it is also significant, you need not turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul stresses, we preach Christ crucified. Now, in the ancient world, that was a reproach. Crucifixion was a form of execution for a criminal. It was not something that was attractive. It was something that would turn people off. But that was the truth, that Christ died as a criminal. But he had committed no crime. It was a vicarious death. He died in behalf of others who deserved that penalty, and he did not. This is the glory of the Christian proclamation. The sinless Son of God, absolutely perfect, came to earth to live a perfect life and die for the sins of others. Our sins were laid upon him. That is the great truth. And we can go to heaven because he has paid the debt for us. He has broken the shackles of sin and set us free. Now we can serve God. We don't deserve it. We will never deserve it. But we have that privilege because of him. And we're telling others about that marvelous thing that Christ died for sinners. He took what we deserved. He bore it for us. And we now can be free to serve him and serve his heavenly Father forever. It is a free gift. A marvelous doctrine. The gospel is beyond human invention. It's something that is staggering when you consider what has been done. But it was the truth that Paul was proclaiming. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ." Now, again, that word preach is to proclaim as a herald. He is heralding forth, not himself, but the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of every faithful preacher. They are not there trumpeting forth their knowledge, trumpeting forth their skills. No, they're presenting Christ. He is the one that they are proclaiming. It was his person. It was his sacrifice. It was his triumph over the grave. That is what is important. And they are merely calling attention to something that God the Son has accomplished. And the preacher is merely a spokesman. He is one who stands in the place of the apostles, proclaiming the apostolic truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, the divine Son who sacrificed himself that we might live forever in the presence of his Father. A marvelous truth, the gospel message that is a great privilege for all believers to share with others, but a special privilege for preachers called to that very task, that they might proclaim to others the truth of the gospel ministry and explain how magnificent the loving grace of God is in opening the door to heaven to those who can never deserve it, can never repay that gift, but by the grace of God, they enter because of Christ's sacrifice, and they remain his dear children because of the blood of Christ that has washed away their sins. That is a marvelous truth, a powerful truth that changes lives to this day. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul reminds the Thessalonians, "We preached unto you the gospel of God," the good news that God had made. It was a gospel that the ancient world never expected. It was news that no one could comprehend. It was so different. And it still is that way. When you present the truth of the gospel to people, many times they look at you blankly. What's the significance of that? It makes no sense. Well, yes, from a standpoint of human logic, it doesn't make sense. Why should God in heaven sacrifice his Son for the likes of us? There is no sense to that. If we had been in the place of God, the thought would never have occurred to us. And that is why the gospel message we have is a divine truth. It is something that only God would have thought of. To sacrifice his dear Son so that miserable people could be saved, who can never deserve it, never repay it, never do anything to compensate him for the infinite pain of seeing his Son suffer. He did it because he loved us. That is the gospel message. It is something that transcends all categories of human logic and thought. We just don't think that way, but God does. And that was the message that Paul had the privilege of preaching, proclaiming that truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. The marvelous truth of God's loving kindness. Now, in Romans 10:14, Paul asks a rhetorical question. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now here's the problem. How are people going to learn about this tremendous gift of God? Well, someone has to stand up and tell them. This is the necessity of the Christian ministry. If you get saved and just settle down somewhere and never say anything to anybody about what's happened, then the gospel ends with you. And you'll be the only one going to heaven in your area. And this is why everyone has a responsibility to witness for the Lord, to share the truth. If you've been saved, if you have come to the Lord Jesus, then there are people all around you that need to know about that. There are others who need to be encouraged in that direction and hear about the transforming power that made you a different kind of person. Now, wherever you are, that is a responsibility. We are not all called to be preachers, but we are called to be witnesses, to testify what God has done for us. And this is something that anyone can do anywhere, anytime. And you have to listen to the Holy Spirit when He says to you, you know, here's a person who's not saved. Why don't you tell him about the Lord? How many of us have heard that? And have said to ourselves, well, I don't know whether this is the right time or not, you know. Now, there's the temptation that comes to be quiet about something that we know is truth and we understand is powerful and we're timid to say anything about it. But those who will stand up and be a witness for the Lord and will tell others, yes, I was born again. Here's how it happened. You know, this is the ministry that Brother Jeff has been called to. To tell others about the great salvation that is in Christ. To witness for Him. And He does it very effectively through the Western ministry to young people. A wonderful open door of service. And we must be instant in praying for Him and His ministry. That the Lord may bless that and use Him greatly. But in addition to all that, the door is open to all of us. That is not a closed task. It is one that every believer can do, wherever they are, whoever their neighbors are. We can all speak to others about the Lord and tell them how the Lord Jesus changed us. Now, you never know what good that is going to do. Sometimes people will turn you off and just despise the message. But in the process of time, they may very well change their mind. I can't tell you how many people over the years have refused to listen to me on that score, but who in later years have come back and said, you know, you were right when you talked to me. I didn't believe it then, but since then I've gotten right with the Lord. You plant a seed, and the Lord's business is to water that seed and make it bear fruit. You aren't the one that's able to make it bear fruit, but He certainly is. And we must all remember this, that this is an opportunity that all of us share, not just certain preachers, to plant seeds, to give the testimony to others, and let the Lord water those seeds and cause them to sprout. Now, He has a special ministry among young people. They love the idea of riding horses. They love the idea of the camp that He has. It's a wonderful open door of service. And they come and they enjoy all of that and they hear the gospel and the seed is planted. Now many get saved, but many don't get saved, but they hear the message. The seed is planted and the Lord can do much over the years in that same thing. In church, we see a congregation here. Some come and stay, some come and go. But they hear the message while they're here. The seed is planted, and it's up to the Lord to cause that seed to sprout and bear fruit. And this is our faith. The preaching of the word is not in vain. The message of the gospel is a powerful message. God Himself uses it to accomplish His purpose. And so we keep preaching the word. We keep sowing the seed. And it's the Lord's business to cause that seed to sprout and fruit to come. We can't manufacture that. No one can. But the Lord Himself does. And we have the opportunity of preaching the word, giving out that precious truth of the gospel that others may hear and recognize that this is what the Lord uses to accomplish our eternal salvation. That they need to perceive. In Colossians 1:27, Paul says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom." Now, this is interesting because the word used here is an intensified form of preach. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. We announce thoroughly. We proclaim in a special emphatic way the truth of the gospel. And that's very interesting that Paul uses such terminology. Many times the truth goes forth weakly. The preacher doesn't proclaim it very emphatically, but God can still use that. But God himself can take that message and make it very emphatic in the hearts of the people who hear. That's called his providence. He can arrange things to make the message become a power in the life of the individual. And so we need to keep giving it, even when we think, well, it's a poor presentation. I'm not doing a good job, and so on. Well, that may be true, but that doesn't mean that the Lord can't use it. The Lord can use all kinds of testimonies because it's a supernatural word. And when he empowers that word, it becomes something in the hearts and minds of those who have heard. He makes it much more than any human speaker could make it. And so we have a marvelous privilege, a ministry of proclaiming the word, sowing the seed, putting it in the hearts of the people that we minister to. And whether we see fruit about or not, that's not the important thing. We sow the seed. It's the Lord's business to water the seed and cause it to bear fruit. And that he can do. So never despair when you give witness to people and it looks like they aren't listening or don't care or whatever. That may be the case at the time, but you did it. You sowed the seed. The seed is there. And the Lord may cause providential circumstances to come back to that individual, confront him with what he has heard, and produce a harvest that you may not hear in this world. One of the joys of heaven is going to be seeing people that you prayed for, that you witnessed to, and turned away. And you thought, you know, all is lost. Well, as far as you were concerned, you had no further opportunities. That doesn't mean that the Lord had no further opportunities. You put the seed there. It's the Lord's business to make it sprout. And I think we will be surprised in glory over how many people are there that we gave up on here, but the Lord didn't. And we must remember that. Just sowing the seed doesn't mean we have to see the harvest. Sometimes we sow the seed and never see a harvest. But that doesn't mean there isn't a harvest. So we must sow in faith, recognizing that this holy word of God has infinite powers, and God can use it in the hearts and memories of people long after we have disappeared from the scene. The word still works mightily, and it does bring forth eternal fruit. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." And here's the Apostle Paul explaining something about himself. There is one God. In all the universe, there is only one God. There are many would-be gods like the devil who want to usurp the place of God. Now, they are poor counterfeits. But God rules the universe. And he has given his Son as the mediator between himself and these lost people. The man, Christ Jesus, the divine Son of God, who became human flesh, a human being, that he might touch the hearts of other human beings and bring them into fellowship with his heavenly Father. He gave himself to be the ransom for all. A ransom is a big sum. He gave himself, the divine Son, the only one of his kind in the universe. He gave himself that the debt might be paid, that all who hear and believe might be saved, cleansed of their sins, and brought into the presence of his Father. He's the only one in the universe that has the power to do that. He does it because he loves us. We are collectively the bride. We have no right to this. We cannot claim to be worthy of such an honor. But he has chosen us, and he has given us his own life, dying upon the cross that we might live forever with him. That is like a fairy story. It is like something that's unreal, but it's very real. It is the truth of the universe. It explains why we are here, because he loved us, and he wants us to share eternity with him. Now, that's a staggering idea, and it's true. The truth of the love of God, who chose people who could never deserve it, who could never repay him, and died for them, that he might bring them into his presence in glory and share eternity to come with them. No way that we could deserve that or repay it. It's a gift of divine love. Preach the word. It's a word of tremendous salvation, a word of infinite love, a word that has the power to break the shackles of sin and set men free. Free to worship God. Free to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in the blood, cleansed from the sins of this life, that they might be with him not just a little while, but for all the ages to come in eternity. That is a proclamation that needs to be uttered. We are heralds standing in the marketplace, crying out, "Here is the truth. The great King says this." Yes, it is a marvelous message. Some may mock. Some may refuse to hear. But some do hear. And the bride is growing. And the great blessing of God upon his people is being fulfilled in the proclamation of a gospel message. Preach the word. It is not special tricks. It is not certain fanciful ideas. It is the holy word of God that we have the privilege of proclaiming to others. Here is the truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That Son is the bridegroom. Every last person who believes is going to be the bride. And that is the truth of God that we can proclaim to others. They don't work for it. They can't earn it. They can never repay it. It is a gift that God loves to give because he loves people. Why should he love people? It is an infinite divine secret. There is no human explanation. We would never do it ourselves, but he does it to every person who will call upon him for salvation. They find the love of God is there, washing away their sins, making them what they should be, and by his grace, bringing them to his presence in glory, where the divine bridegroom is waiting. Friends, that is a tremendous message, a tremendous opportunity to proclaim the word, and this is what we preach. Brother Jeff, preach the word. This is what we are commissioned to do. We don't make up things. We don't invent things. We proclaim what He has done in His holy word. And that is the most marvelous story that anyone could ever invent. The love of God for undeserving people. Infinite love. And it's available to everyone who will come. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for the privilege that we have of proclaiming such a marvelous gospel. And we pray now for Brother Jeff, that Thy hand of blessing may rest upon him as he shares this precious message with others. We pray Thy blessing upon his camp, his ministry of preaching, and we pray that Thou wilt use him mightily to proclaim that blessed word. And Lord, we ask that Thy Spirit will use us as well, all of us who know the Lord Jesus, that we may share with others the gracious promise of salvation, not through works and self-effort, but by the love of God, through a wonderful Savior who died to cleanse the wicked and transform them into the bride, loved by the great bridegroom. We thank Thee for such a message and such a gospel truth. Give us all the faithfulness and the courage to be good witnesses for Thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen.